The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
There is no truth in his charges and attacks against me and my son. Zero. Every independent news organization that's reviewed his charges at length found them to be flat out lies. It's been alleged that the allies of Giuliani were working in a side deal at the same time to make millions in Ukraine. A corrupt scheme with an additional helping of corruption and self-dealing on the side. Classic Trump. That's why we have an emoluments clause to prevent presidents from being secretly bribed or paid off by foreign governments. What I did was to seek to replace a weak prosecutor with one who we hope would go after corruption that is holding Ukraine back. What Trump did was hold hostage political support and hundreds of millions of desperately needed dollars to a country at war to advance his own political demands.
So tell me about this bribe and the proof of it and all the reporting around it. It must be very serious.
Oh, it must be, yes. Well, you know, the big picture here is everything we've been talking about here for these last several minutes. The Republicans know, and the right-wing media outlets know. They know that they're about to hitch their wagon to the most corrupt man who's ever been president or run for president. So part, the flip side of that coin is that they have to dirty up Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. They have to get people to think that Joe Biden...
They've been trying for a very long time to do that.
Long time, right. And this supposed $5 million bribe that he allegedly took from somebody in Ukraine is an old story. Rudy Giuliani was peddling it many years ago. You know, do I know for a fact that Joe Biden never took a bribe? Well, of course not. Anything's possible, I suppose. But I do know for a fact that a couple of things. Joe Biden's been in public life for half a century.
Yeah.
And we've never seen any financial scandal attached to his name, number one. Number two, they have to make Joe Biden dirty.
Right.
You have to make him corrupt.
No one has confidence in leadership at the top. You have bureaucrats, deep state bureaucrats, who are running the show. They're partisan. They want to get Donald Trump. They don't care what Joe Biden does because Joe Biden can be controlled. So we have issues with the FBI, but my investigation is about following the money. We're going to continue to follow the money. And Maria, I can assure you there's more money that we're going to be able to identify that was transferred between foreign nationals in other countries and the Biden family. This is going to be hard for Joe Biden to explain, and it's not going to go away. This is going to be an issue, and I think eventually the mainstream media will turn on Joe Biden and start asking the real questions. What did your family do to receive all this money?
What number are you up to now? How much have you identified of the money he's taken in from foreign
nationals? We have more bank records coming in, but we're going to exceed $10 million this week,
right.
And I think we'll get up between $20 and $30 million.
$20 and $30 million. That's all. The Biden crime family, at least nine of them, receiving wire transfers from foreign nationals. Happens all the time. And according to the regime media that you heard before, Comer there, they're just doing this to try to dirty up Biden because Trump is the most corrupt and evil man who's ever been president or who has ever run for president. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us for this final show of the week. You can get to the live stream of this show, the video presentation, at TrumpetDaily.com. Just go to TrumpetDaily.com every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. It's broadcast live from our beautiful studio here in Edmond, Oklahoma. You can also receive the stream at our channel on Rumble. Just search for The Trumpet Daily, and you can follow the stream, or you can watch the program after the fact as well. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. I just want to start, though, with a quote from America Under Attack, the book that we promote relentlessly on this show. It says here, America's Constitution makes this nation different from any other in the world. It is based on biblical principles, The protections afforded by the Constitution have allowed God to bless this nation tremendously. They prevent a dictator from seizing control of the nation's unmatched resources, resources that God gave us. So you see what happens when the Constitution is shredded, then it gives way to an authoritarian regime, and that's what we're seeing play out. Everything Biden, that quote from Biden there at the top, everything he said in 2019 about Donald Trump, about Rudy Giuliani, he and his family are guilty of. That's the way communists work. That's the way they rule. They just criticize and go after their opponents and accuse them of the very sins and crimes that they're getting away with themselves. AUA says here, in a good government, the authorities must protect the people most of all. But the American government is not protecting Americans. It is, in fact, purging the patriots. These elites are committing crimes and treason and treating everyday Americans like criminals and traitors. My father says, finally, we're getting a good look at what 21st century authoritarianism looks like, and it is being driven by former Obama administration agents led behind the scenes by Barack Obama. Biden is surrounded by Obama people, and of course Obama is still there in D.C., pushing all the buttons. It's no wonder. It's no wonder people are no longer relying on the media, at least not the mainstream media. Look at how effortlessly they lie about everything. Mika there just kind of laughing it off. I guess this is very serious. Tell me how serious this is. And then the other guy, I think he's with the New Republic, he plays along. It's just a big joke to them. By the end of this week or next week, it could be up to 20 or 30 million. The Biden crime family on the take. Tucker Carlson, he had quite the monologue last night, by the way. We'll come to some of those clips in just a second. He was also interviewed recently, just to, again, dwell on this point about the corrupt media. We've been making that point quite a lot this week alone. But he had an interview, Tucker did, with a guy named Chadwick Moore, who asked about cable news. And it says here, even Carlson knew cable news was a dying model, one that had lasted longer than anyone expected, as he told me when I spoke to him for my upcoming book. He knew that his time was about up. And of course, in a lot of ways, he was propping up cable news because he was the most popular presenter on news. But he knew it was a dying industry. And you can tell just by the tweets that go out with his monologues. They get something like 2 and 3 million views in the first hour. Even the best shows, even the most popular shows on cable news, can't pull in those kinds of numbers. It quotes Carlson in this article. It says, I really do think the cable news business has a limited future. He said this a couple weeks ago. It's too obviously controlled. It's like Google. It's just become too clear that there's a certain selection of stories that are allowed and the very thick file of stories that are not allowed. I mentioned yesterday that Newsbusters review, how that the big networks had spent zero seconds on the Biden crime family, on the bribery scheme. And then MSNBC finally gets around to it earlier today. And look at what they say. Oh, Trump's just trying to dirty him up. That's what the MAGA movement has to do. It says here, and I think people have come to understand that it's just not sustainable. And then the author of this piece says, what Carlson gave his viewers that no one else could give was simple authenticity. It says, finally, cable news and television in general is an inherently fake place. What about the headline on this trumpet? Like I say, tomorrow's news today, this was out a few months ago. So much phoniness and fakery in the world of cable news even. It says here, it's a fake place. The whole thing is nothing but cunning and deception. We've talked a lot about that before. Revelation 12:9 John 8, verse 44. Cunning and deception made more grotesque by so many scripted individuals and on-screen bells and whistles. You put the bells and whistles on, dress it up, you know, wear a nice suit, follow the script. We see it every day. Lies and deception, cunning and deception, just as you would expect from the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, he surcharges the air with his lies and deception. This monologue last night, it has to do with a Chiron that they had on Fox News the other night. I have it here. It was on screen for 27 seconds. It was a split screen. You'll see it as Tucker sets it up here in a moment. It had Biden on the one side and then Donald Trump when he was speaking in New Jersey the other night, Tuesday night, I think it was. And then down below on the Chiron, it says, wannabe dictator speaks at the White House after having his political rival arrested. He had his political rival arrested. And one of the producers evidently went rogue and put on this Chiron for 27 seconds. Listen to Tucker Carlson as he explains clip 8.
Just before 9 p.m. that night, as part of its coverage, Fox News ran two live video feeds next to one another. On the right, Donald Trump addressed his supporters in New Jersey. On the left, Joe Biden spoke at an event for the Secretary General of NATO in Washington. Beneath those videos at the bottom of the screen, Fox's banner read this way, quote, wannabe dictator speaks at the White House after having his political rival arrested. Those words were up for less than 30 seconds, but the effect was immediate. Inside Fox, the women who run the network panicked. First, they scolded the producer who put the banner on the screen. Less than 24 hours after that, he resigned. He'd been at Fox for more than a decade. He was considered one of the most capable people in the building. He offered to stay for the customary 2 weeks, but Fox told him to clear out his desk and leave immediately. Then the company issued a public apology for the 27-second-long wannabe dictator line. Quote, the Chiron was taken down immediately, Fox's PR department said, and then added ominously it was, quote, addressed. That was all true. But it was not enough to save Fox News from the ensuing scandal. Suggesting that Biden is a dictator, declared the Washington Post, quote, crossed the line. Alexander Vindman agreed strongly. On Twitter, he demanded that the Pentagon pull Fox News from all military bases. It is, quote, absolutely unacceptable for American Forces Network to carry programming that directly, spuriously, attacks the commander-in-chief of American Armed Forces, Vindman wrote. In other words, Joe Biden must ban all criticism of himself because that's what non-dictators do. John Cusack went further still. For the crime of calling Biden a dictator, Fox should be shut down. Quote, the government has to take away their broadcasting license. And so on. It was all over the internet. Democrats were very, very angry. But why were they angry? If the banner on Fox was false, why the hysteria? Lies don't seem to bother anyone anymore. But calling Joe Biden a wannabe dictator, that stung. So you've got to wonder, if you're being honest with yourself, is Joe Biden a wannabe dictator?
You know, what I was thinking about when he was giving that spiel there is all of the names they called Donald Trump, the tyrant, the authoritarian, the dictator. They were calling for him to be assassinated, some of them, while he was in office. All of that was fine. Nobody was punished for that. One guy puts up wannabe dictator on the Chiron for 27 seconds, and he can't even stay out for 2 weeks at Fox News. He can't even keep working for 2 weeks. He's gone that day. Fox News issues an apology. We're so sorry. We offended the dear leader. Well, the dear leader's puppet. That was the only thing missing, by the way, from Tucker's monologue last night, is Barack Hussein Obama. We are seeing a dictatorship, for sure. But it's Obama who's king. It's Obama. He's the one that's the authoritarian. It's his regime. And Biden is just the puppet. Aside from that, though, what a powerful monologue. This is Tucker Carlson unleashed. We like this kind of Tucker. Listen to clip 9.
Of course Joe Biden's not a wannabe dictator. Just because he's trying to put the other candidate in prison for the rest of his life for a crime he himself committed doesn't mean he has a totalitarian impulse. Come on, that's absurd. It takes a lot more than jailing your political rivals to earn the title wannabe dictator. That's the consensus in Washington tonight. It is not a small thing to be a wannabe dictator. It's quite a process. There are a lot of steps. First off, there is the money. The one thing that all dictators have in common is they enrich themselves and their families, their tribe, even as the countries they govern grow steadily poorer and more desperate. There's nothing the population can do about it in a dictatorship. It's no longer possible to fight injustice in a system like that. People can't gather in large numbers to protest the rule of the dictator. If they try that, they'll be arrested by his state security services, even years after the fact. And if citizens persist in believing they can gather in groups to protest, they may be shot to death, a bullet to the throat. And then, just to make the humiliation complete, to make the lesson gin clear to everyone else watching, their relatives can be arrested for daring to complain that their children were killed for complaining. And by the way, it's not just public protest that would be banned in a dictatorship. You wouldn't be allowed to complain from your own home. Unauthorized opinions expressed on the internet would be censored. Go too far, press too deep, tell too much truth, and they'll just erase your opinions. They have no choice, really. It's a matter, as they say, of trust and safety. You must trust the leader, or else you will jeopardize his safety. And in any case, you're in the process of being disarmed anyway, along with everyone else who has shown questionable loyalty to the leader. Those who support the regime can keep their weapons and use them freely, including on public transportation. That's a core civil right for them. But for those who dissent from the program, self-defense is an unaffordable privilege. Turn in your guns, Mr. and Mrs. Peaceful Opposition. You're a danger to society, and we know who you are. The administration already knows what you buy, of course, because they've leaned on the big banks to turn over your confidential credit card information. Not because anyone here is a wannabe dictator, to be clear, but just because. It's nice to have that information, just in case, in the words of the Fox News PR department, a situation arises that needs to be, quote, addressed. It's all totally normal. It's not a dictatorship, okay?
That's a pretty powerful sarcasm there. Went on for 13 minutes. Sean Davis tweeted out, with every new monologue, Tucker proves why the regime and the media it controls could no longer allow him on the nation's airwaves. He is fearless, and a man without fear is dangerous. Men who are not afraid say things that are true regardless of the consequences. I mean, just think about, again, the content here. This is the most popular commentator in America. Sean Davis, he works at The Federalist. And he says here, Tucker proves why the regime and the media it controls could no longer allow him on the nation's airwave. They will not allow it. And then some producer who's worked there for 10 years, he puts up the wannabe dictator, Chiron, and he's gone that day. This is Fox News. Now Obama, his regime, they want to destroy Fox News. They want to blot it out entirely. But look at how the network's already caving in to the radical left, to the communist regime, to this authoritarian regime in America Under Attack. Here again, it says, the late Herbert W. Armstrong warned America decades ago that, quote, the Communist Party is not a mere political party in the sense Americans think of the term. It is a ruthless totalitarian dictatorship. It is run with absolute power by a few men at the top, all of whom are completely subservient to one man who is dictator absolute. Again, this is quoting from Mr. Armstrong. It says, this one-man dictatorship is supposed to be necessary because there may be different interpretations of the Marxist philosophy. Therefore, to prevent division, they must have a supreme interpreter. They've got to have one at the top that people swoon around. Mr. Armstrong wrote that in 1962. He was right. We've got a booklet, a brochure by that very title. If you don't have a copy of this, all the literature we offer on this show, it's offered without cost, without obligation. Just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. I just see the trumpet right underneath it. This is from February. It's got Joe Biden there as an emperor ruling over Rome, ruling over America's downfall. Here again with Obama behind the scenes, pushing all the buttons, just as he joked that he wanted to do with Colbert. Remember that? I kind of like being in the basement, controlling the presidency, because I really enjoy the work. He loves the work of fundamentally transforming the United States of America. Listen to Tucker as he continues, clip 10.
Dictators have that look. You know one when you see one. Dictators build cults of personality around themselves, and they use those cults to deny the glaringly obvious. In his later years, to name just one example, North Korean dictator Kim Il-sung developed an enormous baseball-sized tumor on the back of his neck. It was huge. It was grotesque. It was right there. You couldn't ignore it. You couldn't possibly not see it. But in North Korea, state media did ignore it. They pretended it didn't exist. And so, in some important sense, it didn't. If a tumor grows on a neck but no one acknowledges it, is it really there? Thankfully, nothing like that is happening in our country or ever will. If Joe Biden ever developed some profound physical or medical problem that was obvious to everybody, journalists would say something. This is not North Korea. We don't have state media here. If Joe Biden was, say, incapable of completing a full sentence, or mistook his sister for his wife, or suddenly started falling down in public for no reason, the New York Times would report on that, and they'd get to the bottom of what was actually happening. That would be its duty in a free country like ours. It's not like they would cover it up. The very idea of a cover-up sounds like a conspiracy theory, a dangerous one, actually, so stop it.
As I say, the only thing missing from that monologue is the dear leader himself, Barack Obama. He recently gave an interview to David Axelrod. This was, I think, a couple of weeks ago, but it was just published yesterday. Listen to this one, number 14.
There is a pervasive cynicism right now about institutions that is dangerous, because if people think everything's a scam and everything's rigged, then why bother? Just look out for myself. You know, I mentioned this. You talked about the misinformation speech I gave in Stanford. In that speech, I think I quoted Vladimir Putin's philosophy mm-hmm. when it came to misinformation. That, by the way, Steve Bannon, the advisor to Trump, was quoted as happily adopting, right? Mm-hmm. Which was, we don't have to convince people of whatever propaganda or misinformation that we're pumping in there. All we have to do is to get people to not believe anything.
Right.
And we've succeeded.
Yes. Well, look.
And I think that the danger right now is that people are skeptical across the board. They don't know what's true. They don't know what's false. They don't know who's on their side. They ascribe, you know, cynical motives to most of political leaders, business leaders, media. So rebuilding that trust, I think, is going to be a major project.
There's the chief propagandist waxing eloquent about propaganda of all subjects. He's the expert. The regime doesn't quite have total control over the airwaves yet. So, but once we get that, then we can get people to trust us. As long as there's no dissent, as long as we control one narrative, then we can finally rebuild the trust of these many skeptics that are out there because of Fox News, because of Tucker Carlson. Listen to one last clip from Tucker's monologue last night, number 11.
And by the way, if Joe Biden was a wannabe dictator, he'd have the family to match. All dictators do. Saddam Hussein had Uday and Qusay. They were princelings who lived above the law, indulging their most decadent fantasies with total confidence they would be never held to account by the police. As the sons of a dictator, they knew they could do exactly what they wanted. And so that's what they did. There's no one like that around Joe Biden. He doesn't have weird sex scandals at the heart of his family that no one in the media will ever talk about. He doesn't have a ne'er-do-well former nightclub-owning brother who's made a living for 30 years by being related to him. Not at all. That's dictator stuff. Joe Biden doesn't award ridiculous inflated titles to his relatives that the media are then required to take seriously. He doesn't call people doctor who didn't go to medical school and then force you to nod along like it's real when everyone knows it isn't. Nicolae Ceaușescu did that with his wife, Elena. Joe Biden would never do that. Nor does Joe Biden dress like a dictator. He doesn't do photo ops in mirrored sunglasses driving a sports car to convince you that he isn't frail and senile, but instead powerful, virile, and wise. That's just not his style. If he was a dictator, Biden's speeches would look like Nuremberg rallies, a blood-red backdrop, armed soldiers by his side, screaming about crushing his eternal enemies. Honestly, Biden did come close to that one time last September at a speech in Philadelphia. But it wasn't in any sense dictatory. It was necessary. As MSNBC assured us at the time, quote, Biden aimed to showcase his faith in the military apparatus and its ability to back the democratic order. See, it was about democracy, not dictatorship. No cause for alarm. He is not a dictator.
Tucker unhinged. I like it. Calling it what it is. No wonder he's no longer with the network. He's like that producer that got fired this week for a chyron that ran for 27 seconds. And it didn't even say he was a dictator. It says he's a wannabe dictator. But that's too much. That's too much for the women that run Fox News, as Tucker says. This January issue, Ready for War, we've referred to that quite 6 months ago, 6-7 months ago. There's an article at American Greatness with the subhead, The War Against Trump. The war, and I told you earlier this week, just think about how many commentators now are concentrating on that theme, this war, lawfare. You hear that a lot. Just a little bit from the war on Trump continues. That's the title for the article at American Greatness. It says, we're living in a political war, the likes of which this country has never seen. Politics is always filled with lies and deceit. You're seeing a lot more about that as well. I gave it to you in the other article. I just quoted lies, deceit, cunning, deception. This is something different. The society-wide use of political narratives, gaslighting, and disinformation designed to confuse and disorient the American people is unprecedented. See, Obama's got it exactly backwards. It's his regime that's just spewing out disinformation, that's gaslighting the public, that's establishing false narratives. It says here, now add to this the indictment of President Donald Trump on charges relating to classified documents, documents he had the unilateral constitutional authority to declassify at his own discretion, and we see the weaponization of government taken to new lows. The regime has put its opponent, its primary opponent, in jail, or at least wants to. It says here that Trump would even run for president again seems fanciful. The Durham report released in May reveals an American intelligence community that was well organized and determined to advance a sophisticated disinformation campaign against him. This campaign was not unlike those the U.S. government runs against foreign enemies of the U.S. The guy's just noting what he's going up against. Again, that quote from AUA I gave you yesterday. The power and the size of this system, this administrative state working against Trump, I mean, it's staggering. Further on in this piece, it says, these were not rogue actors behaving contrary to agency policy. These were the leaders of the intelligence community that were going after Trump, that have been for 7 years. They tried to interfere in 2016. Trump won anyway. They attacked him all through his presidency, calling him a dictator, among other things. And then they stole the 2020 election. And now they continue to go after him because he's running for president again. It's not enough to try to win at the ballot box. They've got to destroy him. It says here, if the country was in good health politically, it would be fine to have a heated primary. We are not. The country is coming apart, and the time grows short in which we will be able to fix it. It says, if it's going to be fixed, it will not be the Republican establishment. It won't be. So the guy's saying we got to rally around Donald Trump. And then further on, it says, and it will require the blessings. If America's to be fixed, Listen to this. It will require the blessings of Almighty God on the American people that they will rise up against the dark, demonic forces that have enveloped this world and corrupted so much of this country. Well, nothing there about repentance, but that's quite a conclusion to that piece. The title, The War on Trump, continues. Think about this headline yesterday at the New York Times. They said, at the heart of the documents case, Trump's attachment to his boxes. Wow, that's explosive bombshell material. This goes on as Comer reveals the Bidens were taking in tens of millions of dollars. And the New York Times, as has the regime media all week long, talking about documents and boxes, papers and boxes. Trump, he always loved to keep scraps and headlines about his presidency in a little box, and he just helped himself to that. This is Hitler, I guess. Is this the way a dictator behaves, taking a few boxes with him to Mar-a-Lago, or is the dictatorship right there in plain sight with the puppet out front? Tucker was spot on. The New York Times says the former president has long stowed papers and odds and ends in cartons that he liked to keep close. His aides have called it the beautiful mind material. He liked to keep clippings in little cartons that he kept close to him. Wow, that's real. I mean, how evil is that? And then you have the establishment for their part. Karl Rove tweeting out, the blame for the calamity rests solely on Mr. Trump and his childish impulse to keep mementos from his time in the Oval Office, no matter what the law says. He took off with mementos. Karl Rove, that's Karl Rove. And meanwhile, what's happening with the Biden crime family? Listen to this from Jesse Waters' monologue last night, clip two.
The Biden family's been an intelligence op for at least a decade. Remember, Donald Trump wanted to close the border, take on the cartels, start a trade war with China, and settle things down with Russia. This was bad for business for the most powerful people in the world. And Joe Biden was the perfect person to plant in the White House and stop it all. Notice the shift since Biden's election. Open border, stand down with China, proxy war with Russia. The cheap labor, the China trade, the Ukrainian war machine.
That's Jesse from last night. And then he went on to make this point, clip three.
This isn't some small real estate deal like Whitewater in the 90s. We're talking tens of millions of dollars.
How much have you identified of the money he's taken in from foreign
nationals? We have more bank records coming in, but we're going to exceed 10 million this week. Right. And I think we'll get up between 20 and 30 million dollars.
Whoa! Joe Biden's a money laundering operation for foreign nationals and American intelligence. That's it. He's an empty suit. And he's the perfect president for this. His age gives him an excuse to lay low. He's a Democrat, so the press leaves him alone. And he keeps the population distracted with nasty racial accusations and spends trillions of dollars. And the Fed chair just keeps printing it. Joe says nobody F's with a Biden because it's true. That's why Joe Biden laughs off questions about his corruption. He knows he's untouchable. It's mostly dumb luck. He's stupid, and his greedy family has just bungled their way into the FBI's radar. But now the Bidens don't have much freedom to move. They move when they're told to. They do what they're told to. That's why the Hunter investigation's frozen for 5 years. That's why the special counsel investigation doesn't leak. And that's why the bribe tapes dropped. It's a warning shot to Joe. We own you. It's a warning shot to everybody. We own everybody.
Here again, the only thing missing there is the dear leader. He's saying the deep state, the DOJ, they own the Bidens. They do. They do. Obama, think of the dirt Obama has on all of those people in his regime. And then, of course, he's got his own crimes that he's getting away with. But they're untouchable. Like Jesse said, they're untouchable. And when they do talk about it, like the MSNBC roundtable, they just laugh it off. That's what Joe Biden's been doing. He just laughs at you in your face. If you ask about the wire transfers, if you ask about the bribery scheme, I'll refer you back again to America Under Attack. If you don't have a copy, the hardcover version, call our operators today. When we come back, we'll have the current news segment for this week. And then also, I don't know how much of it will delve into a scriptural study, but I hope I can have enough time to finish off on the importance of family. Family, the way God defines it in Scripture. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Chinese and Saudi officials signed trade deals worth $10 billion on June 11th. This is the latest indication that China's influence in Saudi Arabia is overtaking America's. The deals were signed during the 10th Arab-China Business Conference, the largest ever Chinese-Arab trade gathering. 2022 was a record year of Chinese-Saudi trade, with the total volume reaching $116 billion. This represents a 30% increase over 2021 and means that Chinese trade with the Saudis is triple the size of America's. China's attempts to exert more influence in the Middle East are motivated largely by a desire to rebuild the ancient Silk Road. This globe-girdling project is re-sculpting the geopolitical landscape in profound ways and is leading to the fulfillment of the Mart of Nations prophecy warned about in Isaiah 23. To understand more about this prophecy and the roles China and Saudi Arabia will play, please read our article, Comrade to All, Opponent to None. When Western researchers examined an Iranian drone brought down over Ukraine in April, they discovered a Chinese-made component manufactured in mid-January. This finding demonstrates how quickly Iran is able to help Russia with its war in Ukraine. It needed only 3 months to supply Moscow with these drones. It also shows that global sanctions by the U.S. and its allies intended to halt the flow of parts to Iran have had a limited effect. Last week, the White House said Iran had recently sent hundreds of drones to Russia on ships going across the Caspian Sea. Through this trade, China is indirectly helping the Russian war effort through Iran. Despite sanctions from the U.S. and its allies, Russia has found continued support from China and other Asian nations. Bible prophecy indicates that Asia's support for Russia will grow far stronger in the months and years ahead. To learn more, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, Asia Still Stands with Putin. The Stockholm International Peace Research Institute released its 2023 yearbook on Monday, an annual assessment of armaments, disarmament, and international security. The report found that nations are deploying more nuclear warheads as they modernize their arsenals. Though the overall number of nuclear warheads in the world is declining due to the retirement of old warheads, the number of operational warheads is growing. As of January this year, there were 86 more warheads in military stockpiles than in 2022. Mankind's ability to wipe itself off the face of the earth is increasing. This should be alarming to those watching world events. In Matthew 24, Jesus Christ prophesied that in the end time, humanity would be capable of utterly destroying itself. To see where the accumulation of weapons of mass destruction is leading, request a free copy of Nuclear Armageddon is at the door. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
There's your current news for the week, the normal Friday segment. You can look forward to that again next week at this time. Paul Ryan, he's the good establishment Republican. He was quoted as, somebody asked him about the culture wars. You see how aggressively Joe Obama is going after everything that's traditional. This is the way. This is the Marxist way. You've got to destroy the traditional family. And so Paul Ryan is asked about the culture wars, and he's like, you know, I'm not really a culture war guy. I'm more into policy and deficits and that kind of thing. He was a wild spender, just like all of them are. Now he's apparently a good conservative when it comes to finance. This is what he's into. Forget about the culture wars. You know, just let other people take care of that. That's a good establishment Republican for you. Joe Biden, this is from CNN. Biden will appoint a new federal coordinator to address the increase in book bans enacted across different states. Part of a slew of new actions that he announced on Thursday aimed at protecting the LGBTQ plus community. Book bans? You mean just removing pornography from a grade school library? Is that what we're talking about here? They want to fill those libraries with filth. Some of those board meetings with the school boards, you've had parents get up and actually read from the pornographic material, and they get shouted down. Their mics get cut off. And the point they're making is that, look, if it's that disgusting to read it in front of the school board meeting, then can't we have it removed from the library at school so our children aren't exposed to that filth? They love the filth. They sure do. They invite it in. They, like Isaiah 3:9 says, they declare their sin as Sodom. They're proud of it. I played that clip for you earlier this week. The Bidens welcoming in all of the bizarre and the perverse, the topless even. This is clip 13.
Happy Pride Month. Happy Pride Year. Happy Pride Life. We're joined today by leaders across our administration, which has more proud staff at every level than any administration in American history. As Commander-in-Chief, I was proud to have ended the ban on transgender Americans serving in the United States military. We're combating dangerous and cruel practices of conversion therapy. We're ending the disgraceful practice of banning gay and bisexual men from donating blood. Making human rights for LGBTQ people around the world. I want to send a message to the entire community, especially to transgender children. You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. And you belong. Well, I see more courage in this lawn than I've seen in any time in the recent past. As I said, I mean this, I swear to God. You're some of the bravest and most inspiring people I've ever known. We all move forward when we move together with your joy, with your pride lighting the way. So today, let us proudly remember who we are. The United States of America. Happy Pride!
He swears to God that the most courageous people in the world are right there in that mix. This is not something, though, to stand against. Not if you're Paul Ryan. There's too many policy things to try to argue over. CNN says here, Biden announced the actions during a news conference with British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. He was originally set to host what the White House domestic policy advisor called the largest pride celebration in White House history. Just invite it on in and don't you dare criticize it. You just go along with this movement. Keep your mouth shut. Go along with the movement. This is from The Hill. A federal judge ruled Friday that a Tennessee law banning drag shows in public or in places where children could view them is unconstitutional. So here come the judges to try to protect the transvestites, to try to protect the pedophiles. Well, at least in the world of religion, surely there's going to be some pushback there, right? This is from Real Clear Politics. It says, these examples from this year and last are just a few illustrating how progressive churches are moving beyond gay rights, even beyond transgender acceptance, and venturing into the realm of queer theology. This is a good progressive religion here. Let's just destroy the family. Marxism through and through, seeping even into the churches of this world, says rather than merely settling for the acceptance of gender nonconforming people within existing marital norms and social expectations, queer theology questions heterosexual assumptions and binary gender norms as limiting, oppressive, and anti-biblical, and centers queerness as the redemptive message of Christianity. You just are expected to go along. The authoritarian regime expects it. Listen to this report from Boston. This is there's just a few students. They're going into school. They're seeing all. They're expected to wear even the pride clothing and buttons and stickers. And some few said, "No, I don't want to do that." This is again from Boston. Clip 5.
Parents angry at town hall over intolerance at Marshall Simons Middle School. Kids were asked to wear rainbow clothes in honor of Pride Spirit Day, but some organized a counter-protest wearing red, white, and blue or black. The principal sharing a statement to families that Pride posters were ripped down, stickers ripped up. Some students chanted, USA are my pronouns, and students showing Pride were intimidated.
It was an unruly disruption, in fact, that was organized ahead of time.
While some parents were upset, others say it was overblown.
Some of the kids threw the stickers on the ground. But, you know, I can only speak for my daughter. She didn't want to wear that to school. It's not that she wanted to hurt anybody's feelings.
She says her daughter felt coerced to participate in the Pride event and was offended by some of the messages, like this quote from Tennessee Williams.
Human heart cannot be straight. It is curves and winds. And my daughter just kind of said, you know, Mom, that's offensive to me, who I am straight.
So they were offended, and what that report doesn't tell you is that a lot of the parents of these children that pulled down stickers or a banner, they had to come out and apologize. They had to apologize to the Pride movement, the trans movement. And here there's one of the stickers, the quote from Tennessee Williams, you can't be straight. You can't. If you're going to be normal, you've got to be in some other, not traditional, certainly. It's got to be some other arrangement. This is what they're putting in the hallways of schools. There was a report in British Columbia. These two lesbians that have their trans kid competing in sports. And just notice how the local reporters, how they side, basically, they side with the Pride movement. And there's no pushback. You're not allowed to even criticize it. Pulling down stickers, and that woman in the middle is acting like this is the scariest thing in the world. Notice this from BC, clip 6.
The incident happened last Thursday here at Kelowna's Apple Bowl Stadium. Grade 4 girls were lined up, about to take part in a shot put event. Friends and family were in the stands, eagerly anticipating the competition, when one man stood up and allegedly started to question the gender identity of Heidi Starr's 9-year-old daughter.
I said, sir, that's my daughter you're pointing at. She's a girl. She has every right to be competing here. And he looked at me and said, oh, a girl, insinuating that she wasn't a real girl or what have you, in his mind. And I said, no, she's a girl. She is a girl. He said, no, those are boys. If they're not boys, then they're trans.
Starr says the man then demanded to see a certificate to prove that her child was born a girl. She says it all happened in front of her daughter and the other children just meters away. CBC News has reached out to the couple who allegedly disrupted the event, but they haven't responded to our request for an interview. In an interview with Castanet, however, the man denies yelling at children and says he didn't point at a child and call them transgender. However, the school district has banned the couple from attending any future school district events or properties.
Banned from any future school events or properties for criticizing a trans competing against girls, a boy. Here's one more. I think I have time for number 7.
That's just not right. Like, coming to an event, questioning some other person's gender is totally inappropriate and unacceptable.
It completely rocked us. My daughter was born to a lesbian family, and she knows exactly what that man was asking. And we've never exposed her to the hateful rhetoric, the any of the queer hate that is out in the world. So she had no idea that that existed.
Star's ex-wife, Carrie, is also a parent of the child. She, too, witnessed the outburst and says school officials ushered her daughter and the other children to another part of the field to finish their shot put event. But Carrie says the outburst had ruined the competition by that time for her daughter.
She says one of her biggest disappointments, because she said, I would have gotten a ribbon if he hadn't have done that. So she's a little bit sad.
She says it's shocking that hateful comments towards the LGBTQ community would show up at an elementary school event.
You think it's your safe little community and none of this happens, and it's to show you that it's in your backyard all the time, right? Like, if just because your eyes aren't open doesn't mean it's not there.
Both moms hope this incident serves as a learning opportunity about standing up to people who oppose inclusivity.
My daughter, who is a boy, was born to a lesbian couple. That's Sodom and Gomorrah for you. And the Joe Bama people, they love this kind of thing. They promote this kind of thing. They celebrate this kind of lifestyle. This is a piece by David Zechfeld at C2C Journal. It's a Canadian publication. It says here, while he may have married his high school sweetheart and fathered 7 children, Karl Marx was not a family man. It says, in the Communist Manifesto, he called for traditional family structures to be abolished because he regarded them as enabling capital and private wealth creation. This really is your strongest defense against a communist insurrection. A strong family bulwark. It's exactly like Herbert Armstrong said so many years ago. And you can see why the communists want to upend it. This is America's problem. This is why the communists have been able to infiltrate. This is why they've taken over. It's because the family has been destroyed. I've got the quote from Herbert Armstrong. Missing Dimension in Sex. The foundational bulwark of any healthy, stable, and permanent society is the family unit. A solid family structure is the very foundation of a stable and enduring society. That's really what this man's pointing out at C2C. It says here, since the family is the primary mechanism for passing society's values from one generation to the next, strong families also reinforce the middle-class worldview that Karl Marx so abhorred. The bourgeois claptrap about the family and education, about the hallowed correlation of parents and child, becomes all the more disgusting. I think that's a quote from Marx. You see the authoritarian regime on the one hand, and then right along with it, there they are to promote the total destruction of the traditional family. Next week, I'll have to get into more of the scriptures, what God has to say about the way he set up and organized family. That's all we have time for, unfortunately. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. And we appreciate you joining us, some of you, all week long. We'll see you next time.